Good morning.
It
looks like a few fewer people today, but we're starting two services, so that's why. As the weeks go by, let's watch this place fill up. Those snowbirds will be drifting home slowly but surely. Morning, Duane.
Good morning.
From the great metropolis of Duluth, Mr. Duane Long joins us. Duane, are you still on the church council up there?
No.
You got a new pastor, though, right?
Yeah.
Working out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Good. I'm glad to hear you say that. Say a couple of announcements. Midweek services, 5:30 potluck, 6:30 is our worship service. Today, some of the gals are selling raffle tickets for a beautiful quilt. The money that's going to be raised is for Teen and Adult Challenge. They're going to be leading our worship on April 28th or 29th, something like that. So that'll be good. 28th, I think, yeah. Today, blood pressure, right,
yes.
Nurse Kathy? So if you'd like to take your blood pressures, Mr. Trandall,
yes.
Your blood pressure must be really tremendous. You've been losing weight like crazy.
So I do, sir.
Yeah. And also with you. So if you'd like to have your blood pressure taken, do it before you have coffee, okay? Kathy will be glad to do that for you. Next week, daylight savings time, so you get to jump ahead. So we'll move your clocks ahead. If you come at this normal time, you'll just be in time for coffee hour, and you can go to the 10 o'clock service. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we continue our Lenten walk, some of us come feeling parched, dry, like we're in a desert. We need to find some joy and some purpose and meaning, and need to find new life. We pray your Spirit might stir us today as we say our prayers and sing these hymns. We pray your Spirit that lives in us might awaken as we gather at your holy table. So grant us a vision today of how we can get up and get going and get it back again, that joy of living. Send your Spirit, Lord, as we gather as brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.
Amen.
Our opening hymn this morning is 325. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us confess together. God of light, we confess we have lived in darkness for too long. We play games in the shadows, not wanting to be exposed. We live through nights of fear and frustration and turn away from the forgiving light of your love. God of light, shine brightly on us today and forgive the sin which separates us from you. Our God is a great God whose light is shining brightly in our world today. In Jesus Christ, we are given life and light to overcome the darkness. The light of Christ illuminates every darkened corner. To those who receive Him, who believe in His name, He gives power to become children of God.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it, and bring your saving love to fruition in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we invite our choir. Sing their praises.
First reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. To those who have experienced long years in exile, the return to their homeland is a celebration of abundant life. God calls them into an everlasting covenant of love. Those who return to the Lord will enjoy new life and forgiveness, because God's ways are not our ways. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This morning's psalm is Psalm 63, and we'll read responsively with the congregation reading the bold print. And the refrain this morning is, O God, eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. O God, you are my God. Eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water.
Therefore I gaze upon you in your holy lips, that I might behold your power and your glory.
For your steadfast love is better than life itself. My lips shall give you praise.
So will I bless you as long as I live, and lift up my hands in your name. O God, eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you.
My spirit is content as with the richest of foods, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips.
When I remember you upon my bed, and meditate on you in my watches.
For you have been my helper, and under the shadow of your wings I will rejoice.
My whole being clings to you, your right hand holds me fast. O God, eagerly I seek you, my soul.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this third Sunday of Lent is found in the 13th chapter of St. Luke. Asked about current tragic events, Jesus turns a lesson about whether suffering is deserved into a hard call to obedience. He then tells a parable that holds out hope that the timeline for ultimate judgment will be tempered by patience. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down, why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year till I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. The Word of God, the Word of Life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 336. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A number of years ago, I heard a futurist speak. His 92-year-old father had just passed away, and for the first 20 minutes of his lecture, he talked about all the changes that had happened in those 92 years. I mean, from the Model Ts to television to space shots to cancer treatments, and on and on and on. He hardly took a breath for 20 minutes. And he said that as much change that happened in his father's 92 years, that's how much change is going to happen in the next 9 years. And you know how fast things are changing. He had opened it up for questions after the lecture, and I asked the question, what do you foresee as the biggest problem in the United States in the next 25 years? He, without hesitation, said the number one problem is going to be lack of water. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Last year, we talked about droughts. This year, Jim Gilbert this morning on WCCO, the naturalist, he said, as much snow as it looks like out here, we're still, the whole state of Minnesota is running through a drought. I thought that was interesting, and I looked up some of Jimmy Lang's stuff is catching on me, so I go on Google and look up drought. Found out the worst drought in the history of recorded humankind. This is what Google says. Take it with a grain of salt, because you can't believe everything you see on the computer. Right, Duane? Yeah. 1876 to 1879 in China, there was the greatest drought that has ever been recorded. Destroyed all the food crops. Lots of animals dropped to death. And over 13 million people died from that drought. Droughts, I was told on this computer, will always be with us. In fact, like I say, right now, much of America is suffering a terrible drought. And it's the way it sounds, if this futurist was right, it's only going to get worse. These droughts will be accompanied with severe shortages of drinking water. A few years ago, all the states around the Great Lakes had to pass legislation saying that people in California and Arizona who wanted to drain our water and run a canal from the Great Lakes down there, they passed a law saying, no, no one can take care of that. And Canada as well said that they wouldn't allow international waters to be used to give those folks down in Phoenix nice green lawns. They say by 2025, some countries could be in really dire straits. That's scary when you think about it. We live in a land of 10,000 lakes, so we don't hardly ever think about it. But what happens? What happens if we run out of water? Well, the people in Israel knew about droughts. They lived in land where water was a precious commodity, huh? So Isaiah, in the first lesson that Kathy read for us this morning, this prophet speaks to this receptive audience there in the midst of drought. And he says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on that which is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? He says, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affairs. Give ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. Isaiah is speaking to Israel on behalf of God. He's reminding people that God is in charge. He's not writing about physical thirst here, though. He's not writing about being thirsty right now. He's writing about spiritual thirst. And he gives the people some clues as to why their lives are spiritually parched. On a more contemporary note, author Joseph Campbell once said about his friends that they were living in what he called a wasteland life. They were living wasteland lives, that they were just baffled. They're wandering in the wasteland, he wrote, without any sense of where the water is, the source that makes things green. Spiritual thirst didn't end in Isaiah's time. Spiritual thirst is still with us today. And I've got to admit, at the end of a long winter, more and more it seems like something's lacking in my life. And maybe it's this spiritual thirst that Isaiah is talking about. Isaiah says that the people become spiritually thirsty, first of all, when they have misplaced values. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost, he writes. Why spend money on that which is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affairs. That's at the heart of the human problem, I think. That's at the heart of Isaiah, that Isaiah is talking about. People are spending their money, they're spending their time on that which never permanently satisfies them. There's always this itch, there's always this desire that there's got to be something more, something greater. And that's true of people, I think, in every generation. Where do we find meaning and purpose and joy in life these days? In one of her books, Annie Dillard writes about the ill-fated Franklin expedition. In 1845, Sir John Franklin and 138 of his officers and sailors left England on two large sailing ships in hopes to find the Northwest Passage across the Canadian Arctic into the Pacific Ocean. Each vessel carried an auxiliary steam engine, it says, a 12-day supply of coal. The entire voyage would have taken a couple of years, but they only took 12 days' supply of coal. And on their boat, I thought this was really interesting. They carried a 1,200-volume library. They had a hand organ that carried 50 tunes. They had china place settings for officers and men. They had cut glass crystal goblets. They had sterling silver flatware. The expedition carried no special clothing for the Arctic except the uniforms on Her Majesty's Navy. That was really a sad, sad mistake. So not long after the expedition entered the Arctic waters, those two ships got trapped in ice off of King William Island. Many of the crew members perished on the ships, including Franklin himself. The remaining crew began walking toward the Canadian mainland, and none of them made it. They all perished, including there were two officers who were pulling a great big sled that was loaded down. And it was loaded down with table silver. They gave their lives for a sled full of knives, forks, and spoons. Doesn't make sense. No matter how much that sled was worth, you know, was it worth their lives? But people still make that mistake. Parents neglect their children in search of the almighty dollar. Spouses neglect each other, you know, the gem of your life, and we don't pay any attention to them. We trade our health, we trade our integrity, we lose our souls searching after that which can never satisfy. That's what Isaiah is talking about here. Where are our priorities? What's important? Reverend Jim Pye tells an interesting story, contrasting story about a lady in Northern Ireland who was much wiser than these Majesty's sailors. She was having a series of prayer meetings at her house. 3 weekends she was having these prayer meetings, so she invited all her neighbors, even those of different faiths, to come over. She invited this neighbor that was right next door, but she felt she couldn't because she was of a different faith and didn't want to. Was kind of scared about going over and whatnot. Anyway, however, the day after the first meeting, she asked how the service had gone, and the woman replied, "Oh, it was wonderful. We had 35 in my little cottage, and it was full." So then the next weekend, she was invited again, but she didn't go. And she, the neighbor asked how it went, and the lady said, "Oh, it was a wonderful, wonderful time. We had 51 people, and my cottage was full." The next weekend was the last prayer meeting that she was going to hold. She invited the neighbor. The neighbor said no, but the day after inquired how it had gone. And the lady said, "Marvelous, it went marvelous. We had 62 and my little cottage was full." And the neighbor said, "Well, you know, this is impossible. How can you have 35 the first weekend and it was full, and 51 the next week and it was full, and 62 yesterday and it was full again?" And the woman that had hosted the event says, "Well, it's quite simple. We simply got rid of every piece of furniture in the cottage. We put it all outside. We emptied the house, and it was filled with people." Furniture wasn't important to her. People were. Table silver wasn't important, but two officers from a frozen ship gave their lives trying to take table silver with them. People become spiritually thirsty when they have the wrong values, misplaced values. That happens then, and it can happen today, and might be happening to some of us. People also become spiritually parched when they betray their values. The Bible's way of saying this is that people become spiritually thirsty when they sin. A few verses further in this passage, it reads, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God let them turn to, for he will freely pardon." We don't use the word wicked or unrighteous much these days. That doesn't mean people don't do wicked or unrighteous things. We just use different words to describe them. In the past week, I've heard mistakes were made. That's one way we say it. Or people were confused, I've read in the newspapers. That's another way of saying it. It might help during the season of Lent to acknowledge that what we're doing is sinning. I mean, we're sinning. Sinning against our family, perhaps sinning against our neighbor, sinning against ourselves, and ultimately we're sinning against God. People are thirsty because of misplaced values. People are thirsty because they have betrayed their values. And people are spiritually parched because they depend on their own resources. I can stand on my own. I will take care of myself, me and mine. Listen again to Isaiah. He says, "Come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." And those words are echoed in the 21st chapter of Revelation, where the author there says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." See, the resources of God, which is symbolized in the water of life, are available to everybody, to all of us, to everybody. Regardless of who we are or regardless of what we've done, God says, come, come. They're available and they're free. And all we have to do is ask. There's an old story about a ship that was sailing back in the old days before radio beacons, and it floundered during a hurricane and found themselves that they couldn't move. The ship was in irons, they say, so that means there was no wind and they were stuck. They were off the South American coast. The crew began to run out of water. All around was water. They thought it was salt water. Drinking it would be fatal to them. And by one by one, they died. Well, the tragedy of this situation was that, unknown to them, they had traveled into the region of the mouth of the Amazon. Now, the Amazon River is the largest river in the world. In fact, the mouth is 90 miles across. And there's so much water flowing out of the Amazon that more flows out of the Amazon than the Yangtze and the Mississippi and the Nile rivers combined. So much water comes from the Amazon that they can detect this current 200 miles out into the ocean. All around these unsuspecting people was fresh water, and they didn't know it. Thought it was salt water. All they had to do was reach down and drink all they needed. I think that describes some of our situations. All around is fresh water. God offers us fresh water, fresh starts, fresh life. And so the question for us to ponder on this third Sunday of Lent as we continue our Lenten journeys, is our life materially rich but spiritually parched? Come, buy wine and milk without price, without money, without cost, says Isaiah. Why spend money on that which is not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy. He says, listen. Listen to me. And eat what is good. And you will delight in the richest of fare. You'll live life in a wasteland no more. That's the promise. That's the promise. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us this Lenten season. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering.
The congregation, please rise. Please turn to the offertory prayer on the top of page 4. Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Returning to the Lord with all our heart, let us pray for the whole people of God, the earth, and all who cry out for healing. Let's take a moment for silent prayer.
Cultivate in the church a spirit of repentance, that they may bear the fruits of faith, mercy, and compassion. Hear us, O God. Turn the nations from violence and bloodshed to genuine concern for the common good and care for the earth we inhabit. Hear us, O God.
Bless our Jewish sisters and brothers, fellow heirs of the God's promises, even as we confess to them our sins and past failures. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Nurture the faith of those tested by illness, grief, addiction, or anxiety. We especially remember in our prayers Ron Hass, Arlene Westerlund, Lord, Ruth Westerlund, those others who we name in our hearts before you, who need your healing touch. And give them a spirit of endurance. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Sustain us in our Lenten journey with spiritual food and drink, that we may bring forth the fruit of conversion. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We ask your presence to be with all who are gathered here, Heavenly Father, on our Lenten journeys. Allow this to be a time when we can grow close to you, and your Spirit might come alive in us and stir our hearts to goodness and patience and love. We ask your blessing to be with our family members wherever they find themselves this day. Be with our snowbirds. Be with those who travel. Gather us around the tree of life in the garden of paradise with all our holy ancestors who trusted in your covenant of mercy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hear us according to your steadfast love, O God. And in your great compassion, bring us to resurrection and rebirth in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
So we gather at this holy table, ready to receive the bread of life. We pray that we would be with Jesus and his disciples. We pray that we might follow Jesus as he taught us. At his last supper, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
All are welcome at the table of our Lord. This morning we'll use intinction and dip the bread into the wine or the grape juice. We also have bread for those who are gluten intolerant. So if you just ask me, we'd be glad to serve you that. Table is set. Come eat and drink. Congregation, please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with bread. Sustain us in your Lenten journey. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 349, the first, second, and last verse.